Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. We could all rise and have a word of prayer. This great God of salvation, Lord, the Redeemer of mankind, the Redeemer of our souls, Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your precious gift of salvation. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for brothers and sisters as we gather here today. We thank you, Father, for your living word, your word that has life, your word that brings conviction, your word that brings encouragement, your word that bears us up, Lord, when we're discouraged. We thank you, Father, for brothers and sisters that are hearts that are willing to surrender themselves to you, Lord. To not be as Esau, who for a portion of meat sold his birthright. So, Lord, I do pray today that you would bless us, Lord, with your presence. You would fill us with your spirit today, Lord. And may you continue to teach us. We've had many warnings this morning, Lord, of keeping our hearts in tune with you, keeping our eyes single, fixed upon that precious gift of salvation, not looking around the cares of this life. So, Lord, I do pray today as we continue our day of worship, I do pray that you would bind the powers of darkness today, Lord, here, that you would keep aside all those distractions of life, the cares of life that happened yesterday and the cares that we'll face tomorrow, Lord, but that today our hearts would be focused upon you and that we'd hear from you again, Lord. I pray you would speak through me and you would bless each one of us here, Lord, as we hear, that we would get a deeper understanding of you and your word and your desire and your will for our lives. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was very blessed with what everyone shared. It kind of ties right along in with what I was wanting to share on today. I was thinking of many of you might know these, but some of the children might not. There was ten great leaders. They was called 10 great leaders of Israel. Get a little darker marker. Shamal, I pronounced all their names right. Shaphat. There's Igal, Paltai, Gadiel, Gadai, Amiel, there's Sether, Nabai, and Gael, I'm sure some of you adults probably know who those leaders were. Did any of your children know who they were? Any young men, young ladies? Anyone, I guess? Maybe some of the older ones? I'll give you a hint. There was two other guys with them. Those two were with them also. Those 10 men, nobody remembers them. Those were the other 10 spies that were with Caleb and Joshua when they went into the promised land and they spied out the promised land. But today what I want to look at is those two groups of men had different responses. They all saw the same thing. They all experienced the same thing. They all walked together. Each one of those men was a leader in their family tribe. But, you know, they was all part of the miracles. They all grew up, I think they would have all grown up in Egypt, because this only happened about a year or so after they left, after they come through the Red Sea, after they left Egypt. Each one of those grew up in Egypt. They've seen all the miracles that God performed in delivering them from Egypt. They've seen the plagues. They've seen God's manifestation of his spirit. They've seen the power of God through it all. They seen how Moses led them out. They seen the Red Sea part. They seen Pharaoh and his army drown. They came out of all of those things. They walked in the wilderness. They seen the deliverance of manna every morning. They seen when they were thirsty in the land, they seen God, or they seen Moses, they seen the water come out of the rock. This all happened before they come to this. They seen when the children of Israel, like in Numbers 11, I think it is, where the children were murmuring, complaining. And they cried unto Moses, and they said, we want flesh to eat. They seen the murmur, and they seen God in his wrath. They seen him pour out quail until he said, you're going to have it till it's coming out of your nostrils. You're going to detest it. They seen that. They seen Miriam and Aaron rise up, and they seen him speak against Moses, and they was trying to challenge God's order in that thing. And they seen Miriam be struck down with leprosy for it. They seen her be healed from it in the same way. They all seen all these things come through life. Then we're gonna go into jump into Numbers 13. If you want, you can rise. There's quite a bit of reading. Maybe we can stand while we read. Stretch your legs a little bit. We're going to restart reading in Numbers 13:27. We're going to read into just about the end of chapter 14. And this gives the account of when they went into Canaan and spied out the land. It says, and they told him and said, this is right after they came back. And this is their report. It says, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And that fruit was if you go up a couple chapters, a couple verses, they bear between two of them on a staff a cluster of grapes, and then pomegranates and figs. They were showing them this is what grows there. Nevertheless, that famous word, but. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in the might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. So now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and go and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by a plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Okay, you can be seated. I marvel these men, so they all seen the same thing, but they looked at it differently. You look at the report. The 10 spies said, it's all this, but this land, it eats up the inhabitants. It means like the inhabitant, it's a hard land to live in. It's rough. It's rugged. It's mountainous. They said it's not good. They was discouraging the people to even look at it. They said, the Amalek, the sons of Anak, we're as grasshoppers in our own sight. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. They looked like these men are giants. We can't touch them. Joshua and Caleb, they looked at it and said, it's a good land. And they referred to the sons of Anak. They said, they're but bread for us. So we look at one group, they're looking and said, we're like grasshoppers to these guys. And these other ones look at them and say, they're only bread. They're for us to devour. Two complete different responses. But God was displeased. The children of Israel had a lack of faith. They did not believe God. They did not trust God. Even though he brought them through all those things, he manifested his grace. He manifested his mercy. He manifested his power and his glory to them over and over and over. And they come up to another one and they murmured and complained. And they would have rather took a captain, turned around, and went back into Egypt into bondage than to go forward and trust God. It's a staggering concept that they were delivered. They were delivered from their bondage. They had a hard life in Egypt. It was not an easy life. They even to the point that they were losing their children. They couldn't even have children. If you had a male son, he was murdered. He was slaughtered because you're a slave. You had no choice in it. But they had rather turn around and went back to that instead of following the Lord and say, yes, we'll take the land. You have a good land for us. In Joshua 14, this is after they crossed the Jordan River. Joshua 14, we're going to read a few more verses here, starting verse 6. This is the children of Israel crossed the Jordan. They came in and they were ready to start dispersing the land by lot. It says, verse 6 says, the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me bade the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The city of Hebron was something special to them. The city of Hebron, when Abraham and Lot were in the wilderness together in the plains, and they had that dissension between their herdsmen, and Abraham told Lot, you go one way and I'll go the other way. Abraham chose Sodom. Lot chose Sodom. Abraham turned, he went, and he dwelt in Hebron. So Hebron was the home place of Abraham. That was the promised land that God promised the children of Israel to go back to. That's why he wanted to give to the children of Israel 45 years before that. And they refused it because it was too great. Now we have this old man. He's 85 years old. He waited 45 years for this. And he went and he remembered this promise. He went to Joshua and said, you remember that day when Moses said, I can have this. Give me this mountain. I want that one. He chose the hardest one. He chose the one that had the great fortified cities. He chose the one that had the thick walls. He chose the one that had the giants. Caleb said, give me this one, because I'm just as strong today as I was then. My strength hasn't failed me. I'm still here. What his strength was in, he said, if so be that the Lord will be with me, I'll be able to drive him out. He had no doubt. He had no fear. He had nothing, because he trusted. He knew that the Lord was with me. I'm able to do it. It's referred to three times in here about Caleb's heart. It was in Numbers, first place where we read, God says he followed me fully. And here in Joshua, Caleb says, I followed the Lord wholly. And then God says it again, that he followed me wholly. And that word wholly means like fully and wholly means like complete. There was nothing wavering in him. He had a sold out heart. There was nothing there. He didn't worry about, well, they look too big for us. The land's rough. You know, Caleb was one of the two oldest men in the whole tribe of the children of Israel, or the whole congregation of the children of Israel. Caleb and Joshua were the two oldest men by 20 years at least. I think it was. And he's the one that stepped up and said, I want that. I want that. He took the roughest one. He took the hardest one. He didn't shrink back and said, yeah, well, I'm at the end of my life. Give me the one that's already been taken care of. Give me the plains. Give me the easy place where everything's growing nice. But he said, no, I want the mountain. I want the mountains there. I want Hebron. I was wanting to take this back to our life today. James spoke about what do we drink out of? You know, where are we drinking out of? Do we drink from the living waters or drink of cisterns? And Joe Ash was talking about our birthright. What do we give up for our birthright? Today I want to talk, what mountains do I not want to climb in my life? You know, we all face challenges in our life. We all face things in our life that are hard. We all come different things. We have all kinds of things. But I think when we're faced with this, like Caleb was, when Caleb said, give me this mountain, I want it. I'm going to overcome this one. I'm going to overcome the biggest one. I'm going to overcome the hardest one. So often in life for us, when we're faced with that, we say, we're like the 10 spies. We say, oh, no, it's hard. You know, those walls are thick. The walls are tall. They're giants. The land eats up the inhabitants. I'm not able to. We can't. But God wants us to have a heart like Caleb and Joshua. Like, give me this. I want to conquer this one. Well, if that's the hardest one, that's the one I want. I'm going after that one. But I think a lot of times we get scared. And I'm going to use we, but I'm speaking a lot of my own circumstances and thoughts here. But we get this concept, or I do, of if I sell out completely, sometimes you kind of tremble a little bit, what's God going to do with me? Where's he going to take me? We say, you know, wherever you want to take me, I'll go. We sing that song. But it comes to reality. If you was called today to go into the bushes of Africa, would you go? I mean, if you felt the call of God on your life today to go, I trust we would. That it may be a struggle too, but we want to be in the will of God. But I think that's what hinders our that's what hinders us from saying, give me this mountain. So we keep a little thing, we keep a few things in our life that we're just not completely sold out because we know, well, God, we have to get the mindset that God's not going to use me if I'm not completely sold out. Just enough to stay, you know, just enough to stay in the kingdom. Just enough to stay close, but not be arm in arm with God. We don't want to tackle the mountain. Caleb, you know, he saw all the miracles in Egypt, the Red Sea, and his words were said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Let's look at us, all the miracles we've seen. We look around here, each one of us in here that have been born again, we're a walking miracle. We've had a heart that was steeped in sin. We've had a life that was steeped in sin. And we've been cleansed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's a great miracle that we've all witnessed. But then we come up against something like, somebody mentioned today something about in our marriages. We come up against, our spouse says something a little bit against us this day, and I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to surrender. I don't want to tackle that mountain. I don't want to tackle that city. I don't want to tackle those giants because they're too great. So instead, I'll just dwell in the plains, and we have a half-hearted life. But God, Caleb said, if the Lord delight in us, then he'll bring us into the land and give it to us. That applies to our life today. Whatever those things, and Joash shared, you know, that we all have these things that we at times want to, it's a temptation to sell our birthright for that morsel of meat, that little portion of soup. But God forbid. He has something greater for us. The last message I had, I was talking about that we're perfect in Christ and going on to perfection. That's this today. That's the going on to perfection. We've been saved. We've been cleansed. We've been given a new heart. We've been given a new life. We've been given a new tongue. And we're walking, and we come up against these little challenges in life. We're told to go on to something greater. You know, we sing that song, Higher, About Higher Ground. Plant my feet on higher ground. We all say we want higher ground. And then we're faced with the day-to-day challenges where we can gain higher ground, and we say, I don't want that one. I don't want to deal with that one. That one's too hard. The giants are too big. It's too rough. The land's rough. It's great. I recognize there's all kinds of fruit. The land flows with milk and honey. There's huge clusters of grapes. There's figs. There's pomegranates. It's a beautiful land. I know it'd be great for me, but I don't know. I don't want to. The giants are too big. I can't do it. You get my picture I'm getting today? The children of Israel had a start in their journey. They were in the journey. They were in the path. They were following God. And they come upon the big things in life. The harder things in life, maybe. Maybe not big things. Maybe the harder things of life. And they didn't want to touch them. And because they didn't want to touch them, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The things they thought, well, I don't want to touch it. They said, our children and our wives are going to become prey. I've heard that the concept, and we've seen the concept of, let's take it, we've heard a lot the last while on the home as fathers. I think, you know, there's a concept that people go, there's a mindset in the world that I can't force my children to do anything. I'll lose them. Would you see what happened to the children of Israel? They didn't want to go tackle the armies. Or they didn't want to go tackle the mountains. They didn't want to go in there because our children are going to become prey. Well, they lost their children anyway because they died. Their children went on to inherit it. If we are not willing to tackle the mountains, you're not going to get what you want out of it anyway. God has a desire for us to walk forward in faith that whatever's set before us, we tackle it. Whatever's set before us, we face it. No matter how big the giant is, no matter how big the wall is, no matter how thick the wall is, no matter how rough the ground to walk on, Caleb said that if the Lord will be with me, I'll be able to drive him out. There's no reason that we can't address things in our lives. I was blessed with what James and Joash shared this morning in that aspect. Those things, it's reality. We come at different times, and there's all kinds of different things. We all know that. And we're not in a cookie cutter life. But somebody shared about marriage. The saying that I've been thinking about that brought this about, been a long time ago, I bought this book called Give Me This Mountain. And I've had that phrase in my head for years, is Give Me This Mountain. And I couldn't even remember what the whole concept of the devotional was. I kept thinking, give me this mountain, and I think of, and I'm guilty of this too, so please don't take, I'm knocking anybody, but how many times do we hear the saying, I'm not where I want to be in life? I know there's some things in my life I need to change. Right? I mean, we've heard it, I've said it. My family's not where I want them to be. My marriage isn't quite where I want it to be. We hear those things. And we've end up like these 10. We recognize that I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not willing to tackle the thing. I'm not willing to step up and say, give me this mountain. I'll take care of the giants of Anak because God will be with me. He'll drive them out. Instead, we shrink. Oh, it's too big. I don't want to touch it. It'll be hard. I don't want to do it. It's too hard. I read a quote that says, faith doesn't minimize the difficulties of our circumstances, but it also refuses to focus on them. Faith focuses on God. Faith recognizes that the battle has already been won when we walk with God. But I thought I liked that first part of that. Faith does not minimize the difficulties of our circumstances. Caleb and Joshua didn't say, oh, no, they're not giants. They're not giants. No, the land is really easy. They said, they acknowledge that, yeah, they are giants. Yeah, the walls are there. Yeah, that is a rough land. But if God be with us, we can drive it out. So faith doesn't minimize the difficulties, but it refuses to focus on them. Faith overcomes all those things. And we've been sent out to spy out the promised land also. We have, Joash read that picture of heaven that's coming down. Those things are there. And they're for us if we go in and possess the land. We're called to go in and possess the land. Romans 6, 8, 16 through 18 says, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." That's a little, not quite the context we're getting at, but what I'm wanting is there is that we have there's two kingdoms in life. You either serve your flesh, sin, the devil, or you serve the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God, righteousness. You can't do either or. You can't have a mixture. You serve one or the other. No man can serve two masters. You'll hate the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So when we are faced with life, when we're faced with a giant in our life, we have two choices. We can link up with God, and we can accept the help and the power of God and tackle the thing, go in and possess it like Caleb did, or we can look at it and say, "Oh, it's too big. It's way too big. I can't touch that thing." And how many times do we, and I say, do I, when I see those things, we don't want to touch them. Those little, and I'm not talking the deep things of sin. I don't want to label sin, put levels on sin either today, but I'm not talking of drunkenness and immorality and all those things. I'm talking a little bit of strife amongst you, a little bit of dissension between you and your wife, you and your children, gossip, slander, evil speaking of one another. Sometimes we look at them as little things, but I don't think they're so little because they're still here. Those are the deeper rooted. Those are the things that they don't get out of here very quickly. You know, when alcohol, that was easy, gone. Foul language, gone. I mean, the immorality, gone. But now these day-to-day things, they're a little bigger than we like to make them out to be sometimes because they stay there. It's found an interesting going through these accounts last night. You can look through them in Numbers. I think it's mostly in Numbers and I think in Joshua, where the children of Israel were all assigned their cities. And I think most of them, it says, but they didn't quite drive them all out. They left a few of them here. They didn't quite expel all those heathen tribes out of the land. And the end result was it hindered them later in life. They still had that influence of the paganism and all those things in those from those countries that come in, and it corrupted their cities and it corrupted their tribes and corrupted their nations because they refused to drive all of them out. They stopped partway. Romans 8. Starting in verse 5, says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye lived after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I'm not meaning, I know that we're always going to be in a battle. We're in the flesh. That's the Word of God says, we're in the flesh. It is a battle in life. But when there's something in our, in the forefront of our mind, in the forefront of our eyes, we have an issue to deal with. We know it. And we refuse to address it, I don't think you're walking in the Spirit. You're catering to your flesh because you're like these and you don't want to deal with the hard thing. Maybe I'm saying that too hard. But that's the picture I get. Like when I'm talking to something, like I know I'm confronted with it, and I'm confronted with it, and I'm confronted with it. And I refuse to acknowledge it, and I refuse to address this issue in my life. It's a mountain. Whether it looks pretty little to man or not, but if it's something that God's continually putting on and touching in my heart, touching in my life, like, you need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. If we continue to refuse and continue to refuse, I don't believe you're walking in the Spirit, because you're resisting the work of the Spirit. The Spirit's trying to perfect you. The Spirit's trying to make you into the image of Christ in that way. And I say, no. No, I don't want to touch it. I like this part of my life. I don't want to deal with it. I want to be here. I don't want to go dwell in the mountains. I want to stay in the plains. You know, we have two ways that we look at life. Like the 10 spies did, where things are too hard. We can't do it. Let us go back into bondage. I'd rather go back. You know, Peter, when they were waiting on Christ, what did Peter do? He went back to fishing. That's men's nature. When things get rough, when things are hard, they don't want to face everything, things look a little uncertain, don't know how things are going to turn out, Peter said, I'm going fishing. The children of Israel said, let us make a captain, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back into our bondage. But God would like us to be like Caleb and Joshua that says, no, yeah they are, but they're just as bread to us. That's it. Look, another example. Thinking I wrote the scripture down. You know, Caleb, he recognized that the giants, he said, they're nothing to us. And I thought of another account last night of David as a young man when he went to go visit his brothers. There was another giant standing there. I think he's probably could very well be from the descendants of these guys. I'm not sure 100%, but Goliath was stood there, and he was resisting the children of Israel daily. Every day he'd come out there, and he mocked them. One of you come fight. And the children of Israel, they looked at Goliath through their own eyes, just like these 10 spies looked at the mountains, and they looked at the sons of Anak through their own eyes. And the children of Israel trembled at Goliath. Like, who can go stand against this guy? All they looked and all they seen was this 10-foot-tall giant. He was a monster of a man that none of them in their own strength would have won. I don't believe one of them could have went and fought him and won in their own strength. They looked and they trembled. And here comes David. I don't know what he was, 17, 18 years old at the time. This gives you a picture of a kind of a young, scrawny shepherd boy. And he looked and he listened and he said, who is this guy that defies the army of the living God? He had no fear. He said, how do you stand here and let this man mock the kingdom of God and the people of God? And he said, I'll go fight him. He was just like Caleb. He said, give me this mountain. He said, give me Goliath. I'll take Goliath. I don't have a problem with him. You know, I fought a lion and bear, and the same God that delivered them into my hands will deliver this Philistine. He had no fear of that. He was willing to tackle what was set before him because it was contrary to the kingdom of God. He didn't back up from it. But I think the verse, if you go through the back into Joshua, go to the next, I think it's the next chapter, it gives the account that that Caleb went into Hebron and says he drove out the sons of Anak. He drove them forth and he conquered the land. He inherited that land and possessed it. But I think too often we just lay down and we accept defeat. You know, it's pretty easy for me, like you get discouraged, you lose a battle, you're struggling with something, and you give up and just crash. Forget it. But God says, go ahead and possess the land. It's yours. I'll be with you. He had something special for each one of the tribes of Israel. Each one of the tribes of Israel. There was a couple. I don't want to read things into something that's not there, but I found it interesting. I think it was the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad. They didn't cross the Jordan River for their inheritance. God promised all the children of Israel, I have an inheritance across the Jordan. I have something great for you over here. This is the promise. That was always the promised land, was over across the Jordan, the land of Canaan. They come up to the Jordan River, and as you know, they're coming through the wilderness, and they're defeating all these kings, and they're conquering these lands. And they got up to the Jordan, and there was a big area of plain that they seen was really great for their cattle. And Gad and Reuben said, they went to Moses and said, let us dwell here. We don't want to go across. We're satisfied right here. And I think maybe we fall into that category a little bit. We see there's something greater. I see there's greater things for my life. There's higher ground to gain. There's a different walk. There's a different spirit I can have in a lot of situations. Joash referred, you know, in marriages, the church, and your workplace. I don't think he mentioned any more than that. There's just those three. But we see there's more things to do. There's different ways I can respond. I can be more of a servant. I can have more of a surrendered heart. I can have A, B, C, D, you know. And I don't quite get there. I stop at the other side of the Jordan. Maybe I'm by myself. But I think it's a reality that I'm sure at least one of you in here probably have the same struggles I do. But God has something greater for us. I was singing song number, I think it's song number 493. I think I wrote it down. Yeah, 493. Conquering now and still to conquer. It says, conquering now and still to conquer, rideth the king in his might, leading the host of all the faithful into the midst of the fight. See them with courage advancing, clad in their brilliant array, shouting the name of their leader, hear them exultingly say, not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. Conquering now and still to conquer, who is this wonderful king? Whence are the armies which he leadeth, while of his glory they sing? He is our Lord and Redeemer, Savior and Monarch divine. They are the stars that forever bright in his kingdom will shine. Conquering now and still to conquer, Jesus, thou ruler of all, thrones and their scepters all shall perish, crowns and their splendor shall fall. Yet shall the armies thou leadest, faithful and true to the last, find in thy mansions eternal rest when their warfare is past. Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true and the faithful victory is promised through grace. You know, we think, you know, that song says, not to the strong, not to the swift. And if you looked at all the children of Israel, when they come up to this land, when Caleb stood before Joshua, I don't believe Caleb was the strongest man in the congregation. Caleb was not the swiftest man in the congregation. Caleb was the oldest man in the congregation. He was the one that, he walked the wilderness for 40 years. You know, and he was probably tired. He could have very easily been tired, maybe worn down just a little bit. And we get to that point in our lives where we battle, and we battle, and we get a little worn down. But we think, oh, I'm not strong enough. I don't have enough faith. I can't. But that's not who gets it. It's those that surrender their heart and walk with Jesus that we can obtain anything in our life. Any area in your life you're struggling with, it's attainable. You may not get them all at one time, but every area of your life that you struggle with, you can obtain perfection in that area. I don't think that's too high of a goal or too lofty or too, is it? I mean, I don't think so. If he can deliver us from greed and lust and that, he can deliver us from everything else. I mean, there's nothing in life that we can't conquer through Jesus Christ. But it's not because of I have strength. It's not because I got 25 chapters of the Bible memorized. It's not because I spend 3 hours a day in prayer. But it's because I have faith in Jesus Christ and I walk with him. And we're able to conquer. We're able to take the city. We're able to take those mountains that look overwhelming to us in our flesh. When we look at those things through our physical eye, they look daunting. But when we look at them through the eyes of the Lord, through the eyes of faith, we see that God is able. All things, we're able to do all things through faith. Romans 8:31-33 says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." We forget those promises. We want to just lay down and accept defeat. But the Bible says, what shall we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Another promise, Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." There's nothing lacking in those things. The word all is in those. 1 John 2:1-6 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him also, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." You know, Caleb faced the giants. He recognized they were giants. He recognized of himself he couldn't do it, but he faced it because he believed the promises of God. He believed God way 40 years before. He's seen God deliver him from Egypt. And when the other 10 spies spoke and they were willing to stand, another concept, Caleb and Joshua were willing to stand for truth and spoke out against it, even though it would have cost them their life. The rest of the congregation of Israel wanted to stone them. And they still spoke, and they still said, but God can take us. God can deliver us. Sometimes we have to lose our life. At this point in time in society, we're not going to lose our physical life for it. But maybe we need to lose our reputation. Maybe we need to lose what everybody thinks about me and just tackle that thing. I think sometimes that's probably one thing that hinders us from I'm going to use my own self. I think I've shared enough. You guys all know that I've struggled with pornography for a long time, a lot of years. And I think the thing that hindered me from gaining victory was my reputation. What's everybody going to think if I'm still struggling with this? What's everybody going to think? Why are you doing that? So that's what Satan tells us. You can't get that. You can't overcome that. It's too hard. So we bottle it up. We protect it. We cover our sin because we got a reputation to hold. Because we got something that I got to protect. Who cares? I mean, come on. Everything every man's been delivered from, and then I want to believe the lie that, oh, my brothers are really going to look down on me because I did that. I know better. We all know better. I don't think there's a single brother in here. I don't think there's a single thing any of us could come forward and confess that the congregation could look, oh, what were you doing? That's not how the kingdom of God works. That's not how the Spirit of God works. There's forgiveness. There's grace. But we want to believe the lie that, what are they going to think of me? We want to protect our life. I think that's a little bit of that verse, he that shall save his life shall lose it. You want to save, you want to protect your sin because you want to protect your reputation, you're going to lose it. You're willing to give up your reputation, you're really willing to give up your sin, you're going to gain life. You can't have them both. We can't cover our sin. We can't cover the things we struggle with and try to hide it all with a smile on a Sunday morning and I'm doing great, and expect that we're going to prosper in life. It's part of tackling that mountain. I'll do it. God's with me, I can do it. We can't cover it and expect to be blessed. We'd ask that question like David asked, who dares defy the army of the living God? I think that's something we can tell the devil when we're faced with those things. How dare you defy the children of God? We have that strength. We have that ability. We have that power through Christ. It's not because of me, but it's because of Christ that lives within me that we can tell the devil that, no, you have no power over me. And I don't want to get into the charismatic. I mean, I know that whole thing's been misused and there's all kinds of stuff with all that, but it's still truth. That God has overcome. Jesus Christ has overcome sin and death and hell. He has gained the victory through his blood. And we have that same thing. Romans 8, 14, 15 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. Like our children, they can be struggling to lift something heavy and they're not getting it. And they say, Daddy, help me. And you go run and help them. You'll protect them. We have that same relationship, that same connection with God. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27, says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run ye that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bringeth it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I'm sure we've all seen pictures or maybe example, when people run a race, you're not going to see people run a race with a nail bag on, unless you're a Jayco. But, I mean, that's just reality, right? Nobody goes, like we went to school, we didn't put our book bags on our back and then go run a race. We don't go, if we're going to go out here, nobody's going to go strap on their 30, 40, 50-pound nail bag or your work boots or those things. You get rid of all those weights that slow us down. Paul said, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate. I'm getting at with that is those things in our life, we want higher ground, but then we're faced with those little things. Maybe I'm going to call them little things, but they're not little things. And we don't want to deal with them. And they slow us down. When we don't deal with the things in our life that put themselves in our present, that are constantly hindering me, if we don't deal with them, we're slowed down. We're not striving. We're not temperate as we're striving. It says, run that you may obtain. If I'm running a race so that I can win, I'm going to do everything in my power to shed weight, train. You're going to practice because you want to win. You think of the sports competition, think of the Olympics. Those people train. Most of them, I think, they train for 4 years. They train from one Olympics to the next in their field, whatever it is. Whether it's, there's, I don't know how many sports there are in the Olympics, but especially the runners, they train. They're not going to go out and have the lung capacity to run a marathon just coming off their easy chair. They run to obtain, so they practice, and they keep gaining. They gain more. They push for 1 mile, and then they push for 2 miles. And then they're going to do 3 miles. And then they're going to do 4. They keep gaining those little, they keep taking those things off. So that's how we need to be that same way. We need to strive for the mastery in that way that I got a problem with impatience, I deal with that one. I got a problem with quick tongue, I deal with that one. I got a problem with slander, I deal with that one. I got a problem with gossip, I deal with that one. You keep taking those things off as they arise in your life for the perfection. So you become perfect. In God's eyes. Hebrews 13. Everybody close with these verses. Hebrews 13 verse 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, you know, let us have the testimony. I was kind of surprised. I didn't know these names either, but I kind of assumed maybe some of you would. But let us have the testimony that we have a name that's associated with faith. We have a name that's associated with a sold-out Christian. You know, Joshua and Caleb, everybody knows those names. You say Joshua and Caleb, everybody knows. I think most probably every children here could tell you the stories of Joshua and Caleb. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, you know. But nobody knows those names. They were men that lost their lives because they defied God. They had the opportunity. They seen everything Joshua and Caleb did. They participated in every single thing Joshua and Caleb did. They were great men. It says they were leaders of their tribe. They weren't just the nobodies that they just sent out from the bottom of the tribe. These were the leaders of the tribe. These were the leaders of the families. And they seen all those things, and they turned, we can't. We can't. It's too much. It's too great. But Joshua and Caleb said, it's but bread for us. So may we have that heart that we can cry when something's faced to us, that we can cry out, give me this mountain. Because if God goes with us, who can stand against us? So thank you.